We're in the middle of our study of the gospel. What is the gospel? And I've broken it down to a nutshell. Four parts that you need to know about the gospel. God loved, for God so loved the world. God gave, he gave his one and only son. That if we would believe, so that's part three, we're going to talk about that today. And then part four next week will be, we receive life everlasting. So, God loved, God gave, we believe, we receive. In a nutshell. So if you missed those the last 2 weeks, you can check them out on our Facebook page and watch them live, or you can listen to the audio on the website if you want to hear the whole series. But today is We Believe. What do you believe? Jesus. Yeah, I hope you believe in Jesus. If you don't believe in anything else in life, believe in Jesus, because it leads to life everlasting. But we're going to talk a little bit today about what belief is, what it isn't, how it can grow and develop inside of us, and how it can help us in the long run. So be thinking about this today. What do you believe? What do you believe? I don't know what I believe. I'd have to think about that. I believe there's elk in the woods, so I go elk hunting every fall. I don't always see one, but it doesn't lessen my belief that they exist. Just because I don't see them doesn't mean they're not there. But my belief system says they exist, they're there, so I'm going to keep pursuing them. Because they make little tasty snacks for dinner in the middle of winter. What do you believe in? I believe in the Lord God Almighty. Oh, you do? Then why aren't you living like there's a God? Sometimes we say we believe things, and then our lifestyle or actions don't line up with what we say we believe. I had this friend who was raised in the church, and he was raised to know the Lord, and eventually went wayward and did his own thing and lived a life that was not pleasing to God. And he knew he was. And he's like, you know, I still believe in God, so I'm okay. But then he saw this bumper sticker one day that said, so you believe there's a God, why aren't you acting like it? And he thought, wow, I believe in God, but I am not acting like it. And in that moment, he's like, I'm living a life that leads me to hell for eternity, not a life that leads to life everlasting. And that was a life-changing moment for him. But what do you believe? Because belief is much more than, oh, I believe. Puts us into action. It compels us to do something about what we believe. So Romans 10, 9 through 11. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. Chapter 12 doesn't have the right verses. Chapter 10, 9 through 11. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. So we're putting our belief into action. Yes, I believe. One of the actions we take after we begin to believe who Jesus is what we're doing next week. We're having baptism. Because if you believe Jesus is who he says, I command you to be baptized in my name. So the first step as a believer in Jesus Christ should be to follow what Jesus asked to do, a simple commandment, be baptized. It's just a representation of Christ being buried as he was with our sin and resurrected, the new life coming up out of the water. It's symbolic, but it's a command of Jesus for us as believers to do. So if you haven't signed up for baptism, you can today at the Information Center. All you have to do is believe that he was the Son of God and that he rose again, that he's our Lord and Savior. It's pretty awesome. It's easy. So belief is this: I believe airplanes can fly. Do you guys believe airplanes can fly? Yeah. I believe the pilots are even pretty good. They have a pretty high percentage non-crash rate. but I'm never getting in an airplane. I've been in lots of airplanes, actually, okay? But that's the difference in our belief system. Yeah, the demons in hell believe in Jesus. Satan himself believes in Jesus. It's like believing in airplanes but never being willing to say, I surrender my life to a stranger in the cockpit who's going to fly the plane. And we sit in our seat on the plane and go, okay, A32, I'm buckling up and here we go. Right? You can tell I ride in coach because I was in aisle 32, right? And saying, okay, I have no control of whether this plane takes off or lands. I have no control of where it's going. But I'm putting my belief in the airplane and the pilot to get me to my destination. And you just sit back in your seat, and they don't give you peanuts anymore because of COVID, and you have to touch stuff, but you used to be able to get peanuts on the plane. That's your belief in action. When you take that next step of faith of, I believe in Jesus, so my life is going to begin to follow what he says I should do, how he says I should act, how he says I should speak, how he says I should treat those around me. That's true belief. John 3:18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Nobody likes to be condemned. But if we choose not to believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we stand condemned before the Father. And it's not a hard chemistry problem or mathematical problem to not be condemned. It's, Father, forgive me. I believe that your Son died and rose again for my sins, for my salvation. Will you come into my life and be my Lord and Savior? And then we get to go from condemned to not condemned. All we have to do is believe. John 20, verse 27. Of course, this is just after Jesus had been buried in the tomb, resurrected to life. Thomas, one of his disciples who knew him very well, is still doubting. Then he, being Jesus, said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Jesus isn't afraid of us doubting or not believing. He says, I'm willing to come alongside you and help you out. I'm willing to give you some road markers in your life to help you remember that I'm real, that I exist, to help your belief. This is Thomas, one of his disciples that hung out with him all the time, and he needs some help to get over his unbelief. And Jesus says, I'm here for you. Let me help you. So don't doubt. Doubt is the opposite of belief. Don't doubt. After spending a week in the elk woods, let's get this right. I'm beginning to doubt there's any elk in the mountains. Okay, didn't see one. No fresh sign. But I still believe they exist. I still believe they are out there. So I'm going to go back again, walk some more miles. So don't doubt. Sometimes the evidence before us gives us a false representation of what really is there. Don't believe your circumstances. Don't believe your situation. Believe that God is good, period. Regardless of what's going around, God is good. I have belief in that. There was a point in my life when I didn't. I believed that whatever was happening in my life was how good God was. God was only as good as my situation or my circumstance. I had little belief. But in my life and my experience with God and my relationship with God growing and developing over the years, my belief has grown. To now I hand over the reins and say, you're flying the plane, I'm just a passenger. and God's bigger than COVID, so you still get peanuts. On God's plane. God is good. And if you'll be willing to put your belief out there, to surrender your control, say, I believe in you. I believe that you'll take care of my situation, no matter how grim it looks, no matter how much I don't understand it. I still have situations in my life that on this earth are final because people died. And I'm like, God, I still don't get it. God, it still doesn't make sense. God, it's still not good. God, it's still not all right. But I know that you're good. And I know that one day you'll show me possibly, or I'll just get to heaven and forget all about it. But I know you're good, so I'm still going to serve you because I believe in you and who you are. Mark 9, 21 through 24. Mark chapter 9, 21 through 24. So in this passage, Jesus is healing a possessed boy who's been possessed by an impure spirit. We pick up at verse 21. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," the father answered. "It has often thrown him into fire and water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," Jesus said, "everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." This passage is big to get a hold of. Anything is possible for those who believe. It's like, wow, I've still got a lot of belief to build up inside of me, obviously. I obviously still have some doubt. But we can ask Jesus to help us with our unbelief. We can ask Jesus to help us increase our belief and faith in him, just as this father did. He's like, I believe, but obviously not enough. So God, help me with my unbelief. Do you ever ask God for help in your life? I hope so, because he's available and willing, and he will do it as he said he would. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Part of that is just growing and developing in relationship with God. I have this client that I guide on hunting trips, and I've guided him for a lot of years. And early on in our hunting relationship, he didn't really know me, I didn't really know him. And there was this one day we were on the mountainside, and I'm calling for elk. And of course, where elk don't exist, almost. We're putting our belief out there. We're going to call an elk in. So I'm calling, and it's like 10 degrees. The wind's blowing. It's pretty chilly, and we're getting really cold. Yeah, brr. And the wind's right in our face. It's cold. He's like, "Can we go back to camp?" I'm like, "Let's just give it a little bit longer. Let's just give it a little bit longer." And I could hear this weird noise way off in the distance, this clunk, clunk, clunk. And I'm like, "What is that?" And eventually we're sitting there, and I'm like, I said his name, and I'm like, "Bull." He's like, "Whatever, preacher." He used more colorful language than that. He was in disbelief. Yeah, it was quite colorful. And I hope he's watching today. But I was like, "No, seriously, bull." And he's like, tells me again, "Whatever," he calls me preacher. He's like, "Whatever, preacher." I'm like, "Seriously, bull, quit flopping around." Like, we have an elk in front of us finally. And he looks down and he goes, "Oh, you're not lying." It's like, yeah, obviously. So a week ago we're out hunting, maybe 2 weeks now, taking him on another trip, and we're looking for even more elusive than the elk is the moose. So we're looking for a moose, and we end up hearing these wolves howling, and I'm like, "Well, how would you like to call the wolves in?" He's like, "That would be fun, I think." So I'm like, "All right, let's call them in." So we get set up, and we're calling, and they're coming up the ridge howling and making wolf noises. And we're set up and ready, and here they come. And All of a sudden, I hear this little noise behind us, and I turn and peek over my shoulder. And here's two wolves at a dead run coming at us at about 10 yards. And I'm like, wolves right behind us. And he's like, what? And I'm like, wolves. And so he turns. Of course, they hit the brakes and split and run. And he's like, you know, years ago, I couldn't read your body or your words. I didn't know if you're being, because I'm, if you've been around me much, I'm pretty sarcastic. He's figured that out about me. He's like, I don't know if you're joking or not, but I've been around you enough now. I know I can see your body move, and I know you've seen something. He says, I can read your body language good enough now that I believe before you even speak, I believe. And it's the same way in our relationship with God. As we grow and develop in our relationship with him, in the beginning, it's like God's hitting you with a club going, Arby, pay attention. And I'm like, I didn't know it was you. Sorry. But now, the slightest whisper, I'm like, oh, I need to stop. God's speaking to me. I need to listen. God's speaking to me. And you become more in tune with who he is, and you become more in tune with this Holy Spirit when he begins speaking to your spirit. And you know there's moments you just have to stop and listen. You just have to take a time out and say, okay, God, what are you trying to get through to me? Because your belief has grown and developed that, yes, I've never heard God audibly other than through another human that God was using to speak to me, but I've never heard the voice from heaven say, Arby, you need to behave. He often has to tell me that, okay? I'm a pastor, but I'm not perfect. I often need correction and rebuke. I need God to discipline me and say, hey, line out. You're representing me, not you. It's like, oh, sorry, Lord. I'll do better next time. But as we grow and develop our belief, it becomes easier and easier. So don't be afraid to borrow belief from someone else. Just say, hey, I trust individuals in my life. I have mentors in my life, teachers in my life that I trust. And sometimes I don't believe. I'm like, man, this can't be possible. But they believe, and I trust who they are in Christ. And say, if they believe, Lord, help me help my unbelief until I can get to where they're at and believe like they believe and understand who you are like they understand who you are. So if you're lacking in belief today, don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. We've all been there. We've all had to grow and develop belief in who God is in our circumstances and situations. In John 4:42, there's a great story about borrowing belief. So this is the woman Jesus met at the well, and he led her to himself because he's Jesus and can do that. So she found faith in him, went back, told the whole city about who Jesus is. I met the Savior. The whole city got saved. And then this is what they say to the woman. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Borrow belief if you have unbelief. I look around the world and I know thousands, tens of thousands of believers in Christ Jesus. And I know across the planet there's a billion or billions of believers in Christ Jesus. So either a third of the world is absolutely crazy and has this false belief in Jesus, or they're absolutely full of faith and believe in who he is. So which is it? I have to believe that he's real. He exists because of my life experiences from those I trust in the faith. So it increases my faith and belief. So don't be afraid to borrow belief from someone else until you have your own experiences to go on and believe in who Christ Jesus is. You should have counselors around you that you trust and have faith in and say, well, if they believe and I know they're not crazy, then I just have to get there. I have to get to that point in my life. Hebrews 11, verse 1. It's a great verse. Hebrews 11, verse 1. This is faith. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. Something you hope for and something you can't see. Does that sound mystical? Absolutely. But faith is confidence in that. I'm confident that the Lord God Almighty is real and He exists and He is the creator of heaven and earth. And I am confident that He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to come to earth, to be raised as a child into a man, to go to the cross, to pay the debt that I could never pay. I'm confident that He went to the grave and 3 days later rose again and ascended back into heaven. And I'm confident that He left me power and authority through His Holy Spirit to go forth into the world, to preach the gospel, to bring the good news of who He is to those around me. Of that, I'm confident. Though I can't see it, I do hope for it. That's faith in action. We're going to talk about that in 2 weeks. Putting the gospel, our belief system, into action. God is good. Also, jumping down to verse 6, in between 1 and 6, it just talks about a bunch of the fathers of the faith, going back to like Abel and Enoch and those guys, Noah. But jumping into verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Do you want to please God? Believe in Him. It's that simple to please God. Believe in something you hope for and have not yet seen. The Lord God Almighty, eternity, heaven. Believe and hope for it. It pleases God when you have faith in what He's doing in your life. A personal story of mine. This is belief in action. This is when you transfer from, I believe airplanes can fly, but I'm not getting in one, to the transfer of, I believe airplanes can fly, and I'm going to jump in and be a passenger and have no control of whether it takes off or lands or how it flies. So about 17 years ago now, 18 years, Pastor Kelly, who pastored here for 30-plus years, calls me and says, hey, we need a youth pastor. Will you come be our youth pastor at the Life Center? At that time, we were in a building in town. I'm like, I had just started serving Jesus again with my life. Hadn't been living for Him for very long at this point in my life. And it's like, well, we'll have to pray about it. And through a certain circumstances of prayer and fasting and God saying, yes, this is what I want you to do. Now, I have to make this huge life move from Lewiston back up the valley, which my wife didn't want to move back up here. I wasn't real keen on moving back up here because I kind of left with not a great reputation. And then the boss that I worked for offers me this job with great benefits, great salary, better money than I've ever made in my life to this point as a 20-year-old kid. And so I'm at a crossroad. Do I believe God is who He says He is? Am I going to get out of the driver's seat of making a great income, having great benefits, and building my own kingdom, and say yes to God's call on my life to go be a youth pastor in Kamiah, Idaho, where I don't have a job lined up, I don't have benefits, and my wife's really not excited about the move? So through some circumstances and everything goes on, and we make the move. My wife wasn't real excited about it, and we had some trials and lots of hiccups in the process. It was not a fun move. Things didn't go right or well. Then years later in my life, I got a great job. I'm guiding hunts, doing what I love. I'm in the mountains all the time, getting paid to ride horses, getting paid to ride four-wheelers, getting paid to ride snowmobiles, getting paid to shoot guns. I mean, it's like dream come true. A fantastic job, full-time, full benefits. I mean, like, benefits like government people don't get. Probably some of the best benefits in the valley. Making a great income. And then God calls me up once again. Will you come work for me? Will you leave all that behind to go be a pastor at the Life Center? With no benefits. With tens of thousands of dollars reduced in pay. And guess what? You get to pay all your own expenses now. Because the company I worked for paid all my expenses when I was working. I had a vehicle to drive. They paid the fuel, the insurance, everything. All I had to do was show up with my boots on. But God says, do you believe in me? Real belief looks like, yes, I believe God's real. Yes, I believe there's a heaven. Yes, I believe there's a hell. And yes, I believe if somebody doesn't tell the lost, who will? And if I believe heaven and hell are real, then I have to also believe that every unsaved person I know is going to hell if I don't lead them to Christ, if I don't give them an opportunity to have the same belief I have in Jesus Christ. So I'm at another crossroad in my life. What do I do? Because like climbing the corporate ladder is pretty alluring. It's got great benefits. It's wonderful. So not only do I have to say, okay, God, I'm going to believe in you to provide for me an income. I'm going to believe in you for my family to be healthy and well also, so we don't need the medical benefits that we once had. But I'm jumping in the passenger seat of the airplane and saying, God, your will, your way. Here I am, God. That's your belief in action. That's when you truly believe who God is. And you're willing to look somebody in the eye and say, hey, do you know there's a God who loves you? Do you know there's a God who gave his one and only son for you? And if you will choose to believe, you can receive life everlasting. Because my belief system says, if I don't tell them, who will? And my belief system says, if they don't know Jesus, they're going to hell. And it's not like a weekend stay, it's like for eternity. So I should be on the ball about telling people about Jesus. And I should give God my yes and let him take control of the pilot's seat and me worry about eating my peanuts. Because that's what God wants for us when we truly believe. And faith is this, Matthew 21, 21 and 22. This is what our faith can get to, our belief. Jesus replied, truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. Has anyone ever thrown a mountain into the sea yet? No one. Wow. You guys don't have any faith. I haven't either, although so. My faith hasn't got there yet, which tells me I have room to grow and develop my belief system and who God is. I haven't even walked up to a fig tree, as Jesus said, and said, curse you, die. And a fig tree just dies. So I have some belief I can build. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. I want to receive some things in prayer. I want to see people walk again that have been lame and immobile for part of their life or all their life. I pray for that all the time. God, would you use me to heal people for your name, for your glory? Not for me. I want it for him. There was this one time at the ranch. It was planting season in the spring. We're trying to get the crops to grow. And the guy who does the farming for us out there, he's like, you know, I could really use about a quarter inch rain between now and Tuesday, you know, to water these seeds, and I just planted them, and it's been dry since, and they need to get some water to get growing. And of course, he knows I'm a pastor, and I was like, well, I'll pray for that, you know. When do you want it by? He goes, well, Tuesday. I need it by Tuesday. I'm like, all right, I'm going to pray that we get a quarter inch of rain before Tuesday. I pray, it rains, And it's like a smidgen over a quarter inch. He's like, well, hey, while you're praying, could you have it also warm up to 75 and not get below 55 at night for the next week? I was like, okay, I'll pray. So I asked God, and it was like the temperature was perfect and the time frame was perfect, because God's awesome like that, right? And so, of course, not being a saved man, after seeing the temperatures did this and everything, he goes, hey, could you like pray when I get home tonight? My house is full of naked blondes and $100 bills. So he had enough faith to believe that I was a man of prayer and God would answer my prayers to make a selfish request that God's not going to grant, obviously. But God will grant our request to build our faith and grow our belief in who he is. But he's not going to grant selfish requests. He grants requests that glorify and honor him and build our faith and belief in who he is. Matthew 21, verses 28 through 32. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered, Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. True belief leads to repentance. When you truly believe God is who he says he is, you'll say, God, you'll recognize yourself as a sinner and say, I haven't been living for you. I had to come to this point in my life. And you can read about it in the book Sink or Swim if you want. I don't have time for the story, but I had to come to a point in my life. I believe in you, God, but I'm not living for you. I'm not living a life that says you exist and I believe in you. So I was believing in airplanes but not flying in them. But true belief leads us to that point of repentance that says, God, I'm making a mess of me. I'm yielding my life to you and trusting you with the pilot seat of my life. Will you lead and guide me each and every day? And if we do that, when we get to the point we can actually do that, life looks like this in Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those whose hope or belief is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. It's when we truly believe that God is who he says he is, life gets a lot easier because we learn to yield ourselves or surrender our lives to him and say, God, you're driving this car. I'm just a passenger. God, you're in the driver's seat. I still have things I have to do, but God, you're in control ultimately. And when you put God in control of your life, he will manage your life way better than you ever thought possible. He will take care of your situation, give you a better outcome than you ever thought possible. If you will just say, here I am, Lord. I surrender to you. Take my life, make it your own. So go this week and believe. Belief does not require evidence. When I jump on an airplane, I never stop in the cockpit to even see if there's a pilot in the seat. I don't know. Maybe it's all remote control. I don't know. I never stop to look at the credentials. Sometimes the pilots greet you in the hallway, and I've never stopped to look at their credentials. Like, is this Cracker Jack training, or did you really go to school? But true belief does not require evidence. It's just the trust and belief that, God, you are who you said you were in your word. God, you've never been proven wrong. Your word has never been proven wrong in the existence of man. So I'm going to choose to believe in you today, and I'm going to collect evidence over my lifetime of who you are. and have my own road markers that say, oh yeah, God's real. I could talk to you for hours about moments of my life where God just intervened and I cannot deny who he is. So go and believe in who God is because of who his word says he is. He has never been disproved. So go tell people the good news, the gospel. God love, God gave, we believe, we receive. Amen.